Just like that, we're into hour number two. What up, Nashville? 3HL on 104.5. The Zone is on the air. Brent Doherty, Dawn Davenport from her palatial estate. Dawn, what's up?
Palatial. Hi, boys. Yes. I got a hand, foot, mouth baby, so I'm at home.
How are the four dogs treating the hand, foot, mouth baby?
Oh, they just ignore her like they always do. You know. Happy Tuesday at the Davenport household.
And there he is. He's in red. He's running in red, maybe. I don't know. Ron Slay.
Yep, I am in the building, people. What's happening?
Zone TV feed is in the building on YouTube. Reese writes, I can't wait for Zone Night tomorrow. Perhaps. That is coming up tomorrow at 3rd and Home. We'll do the show live in advance of Zone Night over at First Horizon Park with the Nashville Sounds. Ramon Foster will throw out the first pitch. I don't know if Ron Slay will be the hind catcher, as he calls himself.
Hind catcher.
I'm praying they let me come down to be the hind catcher. I'm praying. You need support. You got to have support, man.
That's why you get undergarments. You don't need a hind catcher.
You're really just going to be out there just to trash talk him, aren't you?
No, I'm going to be out there to really give him the signal.
What kind of signal are you going
to
give him?
To get it over the plate.
It's not a signal. That's just what you're supposed to do.
No, you need a
what
signal.
What is that, number five? You give him five, that means over the plate?
No, I might need to go. He might need to go. Hey. Show Zone TV. He might go outside. He might go drop down two, bring it back one. He might go split them up. And he might go just boom. If I hit him with that, that's just straight knuckle.
Just don't give him the bird. The bird's a bad sign.
No, that's a Buck Rising move. Is Buck going to be there?
Buck probably will be there. That's my guy.
I mean, he lives right down the street, right?
Exactly.
So here's the thing. I'll get in the box with a bat. We'll just do the whole thing.
No.
I won't swing. I'll just stand there. Do you think that
I should
be nervous?
If you get in the box, then I got to put on the guards.
Face mask.
I got to put all the pads on. Yeah, I got to put it. I got to be suited and booted.
I don't think they have the pads for a 6'8 guy.
Well, they got to find them. Sounds got everything. That new baseball park, they got everything, you know. It's probably some pads.
6'8? I don't know.
Well, guess what? I can just go get Pekka's. I'm sure Pekka's still. That's my guy.
That's different. That's different stuff. It's not the same gear.
By the way, if you just cut that sentence out and play it later. That'll take on a different meaning.
I know.
Like, out of context, 3HL, that was right up
I know
there.
We've been asked to cut some audio to make them into promos. I think we just found one.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, thanks, Babs. Get them yellow light.
Thanks her like she did something. Yeah,
she weird. By the way,
Babs will put a stop to it.
So Hunt comes in today, and he's like, hey, man, we had like 5,000 views on Zone TV yesterday. What was going on? I was like, well, I mean, if you'll remember, Dawn at the end of the show said she was wearing a see-through shirt.
Oh, I was.
Hey, shit, I was.
And then when we left, I was like, y'all might want to check how many views we had.
And she refused to sit down. Like, she just refused to sit down for the camera.
We were a mess yesterday.
We're trying to get some work done.
Yeah. Zone Night tomorrow. Ramon Foster will throw out the first pitch. It's going to be fun. And, man, this weather the last couple days? Like, I was standing out watching the fifth graders first day in pads. And there was one of the parents is Dan Stricker, who played wide receiver at Vanderbilt, and he knows. And they just don't know how lucky they were, because first day of pads to a lot of guys means, like, unbearable heat, throwing up on the sideline because you're so hot. And yesterday, I mean, there's no humidity. It was like there was, like, a crisp chill in the air.
What is it? It's like 80 degrees.
I mean,
it's great. Ideal football weather.
Yeah.
Ideal. They got to be loving it and then count.
By the way, Amani Hooker coming up at 5:30.
Oh.
And I looked it up, Babs. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
I'm going to ask him how hard it was to deal with cold weather when he was playing high school football, because he was in Minnesota, where he was in a suburb of Minneapolis. They averaged 54.6 inches of snow per year in his hometown. Mm. Nashville averages 3.8.
Yeah, good comparison right there.
3.8. So we welcome Amani Hooker coming up at at 5:30. I was looking at betonline.ag, had some props going. Will Aaron Rodgers be the quarterback for the Packers in game one next year? No is minus 400. A big favorite. No.
Yeah, and anyone to bet on that is just crazy. He already said it.
Will Ben Roethlisberger retire after this season? Now,
man, that's a good bet.
Listen, Big Ben's looking good.
He is looking
physically.
Yes. I always got to throw the pads on, though.
I was going to say, guess what? I look good with no pads on throwing the football. I mean.
I will not say that about myself.
I will say it about myself. I look better in pads, though. So I will say it about myself.
Well, yeah, could you look like something?
You'd be intimidating, Slay.
There you go. See, come on, talk to him, Babs.
You're like a Hall of Fame defensive end when you put the pads on.
Feel me.
And then they snap the ball.
Yeah.
And then that quick twitch ain't as quick.
Nah, that quick twitch. I get the ball out quick. I ain't got to run no way. I'm going to have a great O-line and everything.
I had you playing defensive end. You're going to play quarterback.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to be. I don't need to be trying.
Oh, Slay don't want to get hit. You know that. That's why he quit in high school. He didn't like getting hit.
Yeah, so you're running the West Coast offense.
Yeah, we're going to get this thing out.
Like three steps and boom.
Yeah, ain't no options or anything. Yeah. No step drops. That's what I'm doing. No step drops. Straight from the gun.
Straight from the gun throw.
Yeah. Ain't got time to do that, man.
Will Tom Brady retire after this season? Oh, I didn't even give the number on Roethlisberger. Will he retire after this season? The answer is yes, minus 300. That's the favorite.
Yeah.
Will Tom Brady retire after the season? The favorite, overwhelming favorite, is no, minus 1,500.
Yeah. He's 44 today. 44.
Happy birthday, Tom.
It ain't today. Going
to yes. I think it's today, yeah.
What should we get? If we were going to give Tom Brady a present from us and the 3HL crew, all y'all listening, what should we give him?
Bottle of tequila.
Hit us up at 3HL1045. Casamigos. George Clooney just sold that company a few months ago.
Did he?
For more than $1 billion.
It's been on fire lately too.
I heard him. I heard him on Stern. He was talking about they started that company just to give gifts to friends.
Yeah. I mean, is it really even that special of a tequila? I don't think so, but. I guess it has the name behind it.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, though.
Yeah, the Añejo is really smooth. Mm-hmm. But he said that he and two other guys put a total of $500,000 into that company, and they sold it for more than $1 billion.
That's a heck of an investment.
Right? Wow. Why can't we make up some kind of drink, Slay?
We can. Boom Room Juice.
We're experts.
We got some.
Boom Boom Room Juice.
And Boom Boom Room Sauce. Boom Boom Sauce.
That one may be already taken.
I wouldn't originate it sitting right here. I don't know how they're going to have one.
The Boom Boom Room Juice sounds awful.
or awfully good. Either one.
Yeah.
See, Babs, what you think, Babs? You want to run with it?
I'm behind it. I'm in. I'm all in for that.
There we go.
Chicago Bears starting quarterback game one, Andy Dalton minus 1,200. That is a huge favorite. They named him starting quarterback today, so there you go. Denver Broncos, what were they? The third most bet team to win the Super Bowl?
That's amazing.
Because everybody thought Aaron Rodgers was going to end up there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, Drew Lock, the favorite at minus 180, Teddy Bridgewater at plus 140. So Drew Lock, a slight favorite there. Houston Texans, I thought this was interesting. Starting quarterback this season. Deshaun Watson is third on this list. Tyrod Taylor, 1-5, prohibited favorite.
Yeah.
Davis Mills, who sounds like a tennis player.
A golfer.
3-1. Yeah. I don't even know who Davis Mills is. Who the hell is Davis Mills?
And the coach was trying to talk him up, Doug.
He sounds like your financial guy. Like, you know how everybody hits you to be your financial guy? Like, oh, no, my guy Davis Mills is all over it.
Yeah, that ain't now.
He played at Stanford.
Davis Mills got me 12% last year. I'm good.
Wait, he's a Stanford guy, so that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yep, there he is, third round draft pick. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I know who Davis Mills is now that you said that. Stanford draft pick. Okay, I'm good.
That did it for you?
Look, I know I'm dumb, but I'm not as dumb as I thought.
Okay, but it's not like you're – putting money on him to win the starting job.
No, I let him invest my money. I'm not putting money on him to play quarterback.
Right.
Let's see. Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback game one. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 8 names on this list.
Well, who?
Oh, my gosh. Indianapolis, what a disaster.
Colts. Indianapolis Colts. Remember, if you missed the sports world yesterday, Carson Wentz with foot surgery. He's out 5 to 12 weeks, which Mike Vrabel said, well, I guess that guy will get it right. Like, I mean, that's such a wide range of time that he'll be back that you're going to get it right. Like, I could see the weatherman going, hey, the high temperature today is going to be somewhere between 75 and 100 degrees. Right? Like, I mean, you're going to get it right. Well, so then they have an offensive guard who is a Pro Bowler. Quentin Nelson goes down with a bone injury in his foot, just like Carson Wentz. So they did the surgery. They're doing it right now, 4 o'clock.
That's crazy.
The same injury.
That's wild, man.
They have 3 starters out on the offensive line. You think that that doctor will give them, like,
discount.
Some kind of discount?
Nope. Yeah.
2 for 1.
Not at all.
All right. Jacob Eason, the favorite to be the quarterback. Nick Foles is second. He's not even on that team. Brett Hundley is third. That's y'all forgot with. About him. No, that's from UCLA. What I'm going with. You're going with Hundley. Mm-hmm. Sam Ellinger, the rookie from Texas, is 4th on the list. Marcus Mariota at 6 to 1. Phillip Rivers coming out of retirement at 10 to 1.
What?
Cam Newton. Whoa. Cam Newton at 12 to 1. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I mentioned yesterday, at 12 to 1. Crazy. Crazy times, I tell you. When we come back, your chance to win Braves tickets. Braves Reds coming up next Thursday in Atlanta. Also, we're going to talk with Kevin Bowen, speaking of the Colts, from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. But here's the thing. We're going to give away these tickets, but you're going to have to earn it. It's not just a luck of the draw deal. You're going to have to answer a question.
Yeah, what is that question?
Well, I'll tell you when we come back. Next on 104.5 The Zone. HL 104.5 The Zone. Handing out 2 for 1s on foot surgeries up in Indy. What is going on up there?
Yikes.
Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay with you. Let's go up to Indianapolis. Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indy joins us now. Kevin, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing good. Both my 2 feet are working, so
it's amazing.
Good on my front.
That's an amazing story, man. Like, it's kind of a it's not like you hear about a foot surgery 5 to 12 weeks all the time. And now you've got 2 on the same team? This is weird.
Weird, yeah. It's a are you bleeping me type of moment for a lot of Colts fans. You know, first, the Carson Wentz thing, you know, is enough of it, just because here locally we dealt with a lot of that in a similar time frame with Andrew Luck during training camp, lower body, lower leg, et cetera. But then the Quentin Nelson and like these two guys, we're not talking about, you know, 90th guy on the roster, 85th guy on the roster. We're talking about arguably your 2 most important players, very freakish stuff, basically. It sounds like Wentz had this injury in high school, they feel like, never really realized it, and then just dislodged when he was planning to throw the other week. And then Nelson, it happened yesterday in practice, and they called it a developmental anomaly, which, you know, when you look at Quentin Nelson, I would say he's an anomaly in a lot of areas, but I didn't know that, you know, a bone in his foot was part of that.
Well, let's start with Carson Wentz. I mean, you know, injury aside, how was he progressing in terms of that offense, in terms of working with Frank Reich again? Because he was awful last year. But I know a lot of people were certainly holding out hope that he would be the answer in 2021 at quarterback to get that offense going again.
Yeah, so, I mean, the injury happened on day 2 of training camp. So, obviously, not a whole lot of 11-on-11 work. You know, yeah. Day 1 was pretty up and down, as you'd expect. But I thought, honestly, on day 2 – he looked really good. He was 8 of 10 in teamwork and really a vertical passing game in that 8 of 10, not just dink and dunk, which is certainly much different than what you had last year, quarterback with Phillip Rivers. Yeah. So, you know, this is just a massive blow, I mean, because he needed this time. He needed preseason reps, you know, or more so than maybe any other quarterback around the league, just given, like you said, his struggles last season. Getting, you know, to know some new personnel. And now you're talking about an injury that, you know, it's not his right shoulder, but a guy that likes to make plays outside of the pocket, can run. They want to do some RPO stuff. They talk about really a lot of his rebuilding came from that lower base, footwork on up. Well, you know, now you're going to have some pain threshold in those feet, and how is he going to be able to handle that? I think all of that is just what has Colts fans so worried right now.
It's crazy to think about, you know, with Carson Wentz and Frank Reich back together again, that seemed like a nice answer. We were all watching and trying to pay attention. And a lot of people were picking the Colts to win the AFC South. Now you've got, as you went into detail there, Quentin Nelson, one of the better offensive linemen in football, goes down. A couple other starters out too, right, on the offensive line?
Yeah, they've been down pretty much three starters, you know, certainly for the last few days. Ryan Kelly, their center, injured his elbow. He's out a couple weeks. And then Eric Fisher, our left tackle, is rehabbing a torn Achilles, you know, from the AFC title game. Obviously, we all saw what his absence in the Super Bowl meant. So that's the other issue you're running into is, you know, Jacob Eason is their current starter, pretty much a pseudo-rookie, and he's dealing with a handful of guys around him, especially on the offensive line, that are second stringers. And, I mean, they just got whipped today by the D-line. It was one of the more thorough beatdowns, honestly, that I've seen, and I've covered 11 training camps now, that I've seen a defensive line against an offensive line. And, you know, luckily Jacob Eason was still wearing the red jersey, or else he would have been pummeled all morning long.
I mean, still talking about the offensive line, what's the impact there with Jonathan Taylor? Because, you know, a lot of fantasy owners are paying attention to that, because that was a guy people were talking about in terms of having that breakout year too. How is he affected by all this?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, I'm super high on Jonathan Taylor. I put him in whatever that next year is behind Derrick Henry or, you know, Dalvin Cook. I mean, yeah. He ended the year with 7 straight games of over 70 yards rushing. It's just, you don't see that consistency by a whole lot of guys in today's NFL. So yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt. I still think the workload needs to be there for Taylor. And obviously with the injury situations, you know, Kelly should be back soon. You know, Nelson and Fisher, a little bit more iffy for that regular season opener, but their absences shouldn't be too long. Now we'll see about Wentz and just when he gets back to work, when he gets up to full speed as well. Because, you know, that would certainly impact, you know, how much you want to lean on that run game. But you know, Taylor's looked great in camp, and I know it's camp and running backs, you know, can be difficult without full pads on and what for the majority of it. But I'm super high on Jonathan Taylor.
Kevin, let me ask you, man, who's the leader on that defense, man? Are they just leading as a collective unit, or who's the guy standing out so far?
I'd say so far in camp it's been DeForest Buckner. You know, he's a guy that is an all-pro defensive tackle. The Colts traded the 13th overall pick for him, not this past offseason, but the offseason prior. And, I mean, for a guy like Chris Ballard, who's obsessed with his draft picks, you're going to send the 13th overall pick for a player, that guy better check a whole lot of boxes, and Buckner does. I mean, he maybe isn't the most vocal leader. Darius Leonard, their linebacker, has been out. He also had surgery on his ankle back in June. He hasn't practiced yet, should be back pretty soon. But to me, Buckner is a guy that I think commands a big presence. He didn't play in that meeting against the Titans at Lucas Oil Stadium. Neither did Jonathan Taylor season. Neither did DeNico Autry, who now obviously is a Titan. So those are some three really big COVID issues. And the Colts just, frankly, got their ass kicked in that game and ended up deciding the AFC South. So I think, you know, talking to Buckner, and he was asymptomatic with a COVID positive then. I mean, just how that really has kind of fired him up for this season. I can't wait for both these Colts and Titans matchups.
Hit us up on Twitter at 3HL1045. By the way, we're talking with Kevin Bowen from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis about the Colts. Your chance to win Braves tickets coming up this segment, so stay tuned for that. You mentioned DeNico Autry. While we've got you and while you mentioned him, what do the Titans have in DeNico Autry?
Just a dude that I want to be in a barroom brawl with, and I want him on my side. I mean, I just think he's tough. I think he's hard-nosed. I love the way he plays the game of football. I think he's versatile. I think he can give you some early down stuff outside for sure and then slide in. Is Tennessee still playing a 3-4?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, he's coming from a 4-3 to a 3-4. I mean, I think to me he could play some 3 technique and then, you know, just kind of move all over your defense really when you get to passing down. So I thought he was extremely productive for the Colts, and the Colts wanted him back. They just had a pretty defined, you know, line in terms of that they didn't want to go over there, and they got much younger on the D line. So I know Autry's definitely on the back end of his career, but I still think, you know, here this year, next year, he can give you pretty good football.
So Carson Wentz out 5 to 12 weeks. Number one, what are you hearing on that time frame? Is it closer to 5 or closer to 12? And also, is the starting quarterback on that roster, is it Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger, or do they bring in a Marcus Mariota or a Nick Foles?
Yeah, I mean, both tough questions. I would say 5 seems very, very Jim Irsay optimistic-like in my mind, because what you have to remember here is, you know, let's say it is 5 weeks. I mean, that would leave 3 practice days for the season opener. We talked about it. This is a guy that, you know, needs, obviously, every quarterback needs their feet, no blank. But, you know, considering the fundamental aspect to playing that position, how much he had to drill that in, focus on that, his game getting outside of the pocket, his injury history as well, I think you got to be cautious with this. It is a pain threshold. It is kind of where you get to. And it doesn't sound like re-injuring is a huge deal with this sort of situation, but still, I would be surprised, I guess, if he played week 1, week 2, something along those lines. Is the week 1 starter here? I mean, that's just a great, great debate. I would roll with Jacob Eason, especially with the Quentin Nelson news. If you look at the Colts' first 5 games coming up this season, it's one of the hardest stretches you'll ever see to start a year. I thought with Wentz under center, 2 and 3 would have been about what I would have expected. So, is it worth, you know, trading a 5th-round pick to the Bears or whatever to the Jags and, you know, trying to salvage 2 and 3, whereas if Jacob Eason's your quarterback, you might go 1 and 4, like something like that. And I, you know, full transparency, I probably have one eye looking towards the future a little bit more than I think the Colts certainly do. They would probably be more inclined to, I think, watch how Eason develops here in August, see what the timetable is with Wentz, and then if they get to late August and they feel like a move needs to be made, they will make that. So obviously the Foles relationship with Frank Reich, I think everyone saw it yesterday with Nick Foles' comments, but Frank Reich is obsessed with that guy. So I my gut says it'll still be Eason, but I think in my media colleague group here in Indy, I'm probably in the minority. I think most people would say they'd go outside the building.
Kevin, great job, man. Really appreciate it. You got a lot going on up there, there's no doubt. At KBowen1070, we'll get you on as the season approaches, because Titans are going to be one of those first 5 games that you mentioned. So appreciate the time, man.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there you go. Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. Banged up.
No question.
A little more banged up than I think we knew.
Three starting offensive linemen. Darius Leonard coming off surgery. Awesome linebacker.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz. And you have 2 injuries with that broken bone in the foot.
That's tough.
Yeah.
5 to 12.
I like how he said the Jim Irsay optimism.
See, that makes a lot more sense. That the doctor probably said, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or 10 to 12 weeks or whatever he said. And then Irsay's like, we're going to keep everybody guessing.
Yep.
5 to 12 weeks. Interesting stuff there. No question about it. Hit us up on Twitter at 3HL1045. You can watch the show on Zone TV, Twitter, Facebook Live, YouTube, and Twitch. I'm currently in YouTube and Twitch right now.
Twitch, please.
Yes, checking out the people.
Hey, by the way, speaking of the people, we need to give away those Braves tickets, right?
We do, indeed. And we're going to do that right now. And here's the thing. We've got a question for you. Joe Hunk's got a question for you.
I do.
But you've got to call in now, not knowing any parameters. 615-737-1045. Go ahead and call in now.
Get on the line, people.
And you can play the game with us.
Can I give the parameters of what you're calling in for, though? It's a pair of tickets to see the Atlanta Braves take on the Cincinnati Reds on Thursday, August 12th at Truist Park in Atlanta. There you go.
Truist Park in Atlanta.
Sounds like a fun time to me.
I'm telling you, man, if you have the means and you can stay right there at the park, oh, man, it is a fun weekend.
Mm.
We did it a couple summers ago, and we stayed there, and we went to games on Saturday and hung out there. There's restaurants all over the place. There's bars. There's places for the kids to run around. Yeah. Usually there's kids playing wiffle ball or whatever right there in the deal. And then you go to games on Sunday, too. It's really, really fun weekend. These tickets are, as Don said, for next Thursday night, though, against the Reds. Braves Reds coming up next Thursday. So Joe Honk is getting people lined up. I see Justin. I see David. I see Corey. Not in any particular order.
This is going to be fun.
But we're going to ask a question. And guys, we've talked about, like, we do the caller five because, I don't know, it's easy. But
we'll put a little something on it.
Is it lazy? Maybe.
Maybe we're being a little lazy. I don't know. But I kind of want to reward people for listening to the show. And I know you guys do as well. And we spent some time talking about this. So Joe Hunk does have a question for you, and then we'll go to the phones in no particular order. Totally random.
100% random. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yes. Shoot, Hunk.
All right. Our question is, what is Ron Slay's middle name?
Justin. Mm. Justin, you're up. What is Ron Slay's middle name?
The man.
That's a hey. He ain't wrong, like Mom say. He ain't wrong.
David, next up. Ron Slay's middle name, David.
Sylvester.
Oh! Look at that.
Boom!
Way to go, Dave.
You would prefer the winner to have said the man.
I like that one.
Yeah. Yes, Ronald Sylvester Slay is the full name. And that only came about, David, because Ramon chose to throw middle names out there one day in the chat. Right? Isn't that how that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And because Ramon did it, we now must put Ramon's middle name out there.
Yes, Centel.
Ramon Centel Foster.
That's right.
All right. Hey, David, thanks for listening, brother. Appreciate you. And hopefully you can go to the Braves game on Thursday.
Well done, David. I'm super impressed. See, if that were me, though, I'd have given them to the first guy because that was very creative.
Yeah, but it's not right. I get it's creative. And Ron is the man. There's no disputing that.
I'm with Babs. I mean, I can't say the man is wrong. I might have to go back. When I get home, I'm going to look at my birth certificate. I might be wrong.
It might say the man.
He could be right.
It's like, oh, man. It's like Jules' wallet in Pulp Fiction. It's the one that says Bad Mother on it.
Yeah.
Bad Montana, Florida on it.
There you go.
And it sure enough did.
Yes, it did.
By the way, if you're scoring at home, Babs did watch, so did Will Bowling.
Yep.
Pulp Fiction for the first time in the Sprinter coming back from SEC Media.
And watched the whole thing attentively.
Which I thought was funny because, like, at night, people in other cars can see into the Sprinter and see what we're watching on television. And there were some, you know, iffy scenes in there.
Yeah.
You think? Like, I don't know. Maybe the one where there's brain everywhere, blood and brains everywhere. Yeah.
Matter of fact, why am I on Brain Detail?
My God.
We will give away another pair of Braves Reds tickets for next Thursday, August 12th in Atlanta, coming up at 5:20 in advance of our conversation with Titan safety Amani Hooker at 5:30. So stay tuned for that. There is more college football movement chatter out there.
What is it now?
We'll tell you when we come back. 3HL is on 104.5 The Zone. @3HL1045 The Zone. Hit us on Twitter @3HL1045. Dylan Davis tweeting out, let's see, 610 Sports KC says their sources telling them it's imminent that Kansas is headed to the Big Ten. Likely announced within the next couple weeks. We said that. That's what
we did. And that's a great fit for him.
Alan Bell joins us now. Talk a little sports betting. AB, what about Kansas to the Big Ten? You in on that?
It's wild, man. I'm interested to see what it looks like at basketball. That's going to be fantastic.
Yes. No question.
Mm.
Yep.
No question. And the other thing we talked about last week was the only move the Big 12 has now is if they can convince the Pac-12 to merge. And my thing is, why would you if you're the Pac-12? Why not just cherry pick a couple of teams and move on? Give me Baylor and whoever else you got, and I'm in. I'm done.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it all depends on the new leadership out there. I know that they've had some problems in the Pac-12, you know, for a while. But I'm with you, man. Like, this is kind of like the Wild West of just grabbing land. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's moving west. So, yeah, like, if you could pull it off, do it. because it's going to pay off in dividends later on. So, yeah, whoever can afford it right now, yeah, it's going to pay off for a long,
everybody's
long time.
Everybody's moving west like the Donner Party. Figure that out. At Alabama,
hopefully they have better results.
Yeah. All right, you're tweeting about all kinds of Olympic things. Let me hit you with this. Ron Slay sent us a text message at about 2 o'clock in the morning last night.
That's right.
Celebrating his Team USA victory. And that was, number one, that's a good win against Spain. Number two, that puts the Americans in the, it puts Team USA in the semifinals. AB against Australia, right? Who a lot of people think could upset the United States. Where are we on that?
Yeah, they could. So, yeah, down to the final four of the medal round here. You've got Wednesday night, 11:15, USA against Australia. USA is an 11.5-point favorite. And then the other game is Thursday morning at 6 a.m. You've got France and Slovenia. Slovenia is a 2.5-point favorite. Look, I think Team USA is picking up a little steam here. Yeah, I mean, Australia is good. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, I mean, kind of, you know, why Ron stayed up to watch that. Like, they're getting a little bit better. And when Kevin Durant is on, he's on. He's the best player in the world when he wants to be. So, yeah, like, I think that the play might be take the United States 11.5 and then take the under. It might be a little low scoring. So, yeah, as crazy as it's been, like, Team USA is picking themselves up kind of nicely.
Man, Alan, we're in the same book. You know, we're on the same page. Yep. We're rolling together right now. Let me ask you also about the women's game, too. They got a matchup versus Australia also. And I picked them. I think they gave Australia 15. Now, Australia is missing Cam Bage, so she's not playing, which makes a big difference from having somebody to offset that height that the U.S. Women are playing with. What do you think about that score? What's your look?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I believe you're right. I think it's 14.5, somewhere around that number. Look, I think the women's team wins this game, but I think you're looking at an even lower scoring. So any time that you have games like that, if you have a team in double digits that's getting points, I'm going to roll with those plus 14.5. Again, I think that Team USA does win, but, yeah, I mean, when you're talking that many points, I'm just going to roll with it. It's going to be a pretty tight game. It's going to be low scoring. Yeah. Give me the team with the points on that one.
At Alan Bell 247, sportsline.com is the website. AB, let's go to the NFL. Nick Foles to Indy, Marcus Mariota to Indy. Who's the starting quarterback in Indianapolis?
So here's the funny thing. All right. So the Marcus Mariota, you know, deal, that would make a lot more sense because it's more affordable. The interesting part is that you have John Gruden out there who understands and values the number two, number three position depth at the quarterback position, right? So he's going to be stuck in a position where it's like, okay, do I keep Marcus Mariota, or does he continue the love affair that he has with Nathan Peterman, which is still crazy to me, but he loves that guy, right? So, yeah, I think that, you know, that could be a fascinating trade. Nick Foles obviously makes sense because he already knows the offense. He'll just have to pick up the new terminology. But he's ready to go pretty much right out of the gate, where any other quarterback is going to have to learn these things. You got a couple weeks to do so. But, you know, if you're Indianapolis, you know, the tough part is this, is that they're a pretty conservative franchise in terms of how they spend their free agency money. You've already got 20-something million wrapped up in Wentz. Are you going to do a deal, have to trade assets, and pick up a contract on Nick Foles? It's a lot of money that they generally do not spend. But, buddy, you can't go into the season with Jacob Eason. Nothing against the kid whatsoever. That ain't going to work. So they're going to have to do something. I'm interested to see what they do.
What do you think about Deshaun Watson? Where do you think he ends up? Because I've seen places in Vegas putting him as, like, the third most likely starter in Houston. Where do you think he ends
up? Yeah, you know, in terms of a trade for him, we're going to have more information on what's going on. If I were a team, I would be frightened out of my mind to give anything away. And especially with what you see with Houston, you know, they're asking for Deshaun Watson, everything is normal, banana land type trades, right? Like first round pick. So it's like, okay, all right, we're not doing that. But, you know, if, you know, say you're the Eagles or somebody and they offered, you know, a fifth round pick to trade for him, I think a team would do that. Because it'd be worth it just to sit him and say, okay, we'll take the chance just in case. My question is this. Why in the world did the Texans even have him out there for the first 2 days of training camp, knowing that when the pads came on, they weren't going to put him out there? So So now you've got a brand new head coach who's fielding questions about it. He doesn't know what to say. It's a complete mess, man. But yeah, if you're trading for him, either you're going to trade very, very little, or you're going to wait. And as we all know, I mean, court systems, they operate on their own time. We might not know about his situation for, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 months. It could be a long time.
Let's go back to the Colts situation, Alan Bell, real quick. With Carson Wentz out, now with Quentin Nelson out also, three starters on the offensive line out, Darius Leonard coming back from surgery. What has that done to the number for Indianapolis moving forward?
Oh, it's imploded their numbers and exploded the Titans, right? So 3-4 days ago, the Colts were plus 110 to win the AFC South. Titans were plus 115. So basically right there. You look at it right now, the Colts are like plus 165. The Titans are around minus 150, minus 160. It's just gone completely the other way, and it's not going to go any other direction. You look at the Titans' bets in terms of to make the playoffs. 4 days ago, it was around minus 130. It's about minus 180 now. And to give you an idea, some perspective on that, that's an implied probability of happening from about 57% to about 68%, right? So that's how large of a jump that it's been. And I'll say for anybody out there that's looking at, like, futures bets, think about this. If this situation goes bad for the Colts, look at the Titans in terms of team total wins this year at 9 and look at to make the playoffs. I know it's a lot of juice, but to make the playoffs, they have to win, you know, just winning the AFC South. You have 6 games against the Jaguars twice, the Texans twice, and the Colts twice. Two of those teams might be two of the worst in the NFL, and then the Colts will figure out where they are. If the Titans win 4 of those games, they lock up the division, right? So, I mean, seriously, like, take a look at it. There's so many different things. Also, if anybody prop bets out there, Jonathan Taylor in week 1 is going to get about 9,000 carries because they're not going to understand their quarterback situation. So you might want to load up on him and their tight ends as well.
Well, and they're going to see 9,000 men in the box too because nobody's going to be afraid of Jacob Eason. Hey, thanks for the time, Alan Bell. You kill it, man. I absolutely love your visits, and we appreciate you.
Man, I appreciate you. I love being on. Thanks so much for having me.
Right, sportsline.com. There he is, Alan Bell on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. AB at Alan Bell 247. Hey, when we come back, we've got all kinds of things to do in the 5 o'clock hour. Titan safety Imani Hooker will join us next hour. Your chance to win Braves tickets. Again, you'll have to answer a question about the show. And Shane Bowen visited with the media, Titans defensive coordinator. What did he have to say about last year's woes on third down? What about Jim Schwartz being involved? All that coming up.
Oh, boy.
A lot.